Look at that. What's the
hashbrown.com. I don't remember if it's .org. .co.uk.
Okay.
It didn't work very well the other day I tried to go in. But the thing is that Hashbrown basically was like a platform that one of them developed, Alex Gamela developed, but he wrote very little for the project. And then there were some concept reviews, and they did one project together about the mostly bats, but the other things were very split around. So they just built this platform, which was quite generic, and they had this in common, but then they went, each one of them, with their own, covering their own things. And I think the thing which should unite us is the purpose, which is to cover the cats and provide this service to underserved communities. Because, for example, in the retail example, I found an organization which is devoted precisely to promote business ideas and small businesses and all this, and they are just closing it because of the cuts. So these people will have no platform to get information and everything, so they are scaling on this. So we are, in your case, for example, in the case of the public sector, they never had this. No, it's not that they are missing it. So
can I just interject here? Like, I understand totally what Andy's saying. You and I have talked a number of times going back and forth, where I kept coming back to the point that Andy is making, right? That I'm concerned. I understand what you're saying about it being a platform, right? But at the same time, I am concerned that we are spreading ourselves too thin. Like the other day, I completely agreed with you on this concept, and then I went home and I thought, I think it's not branded enough. It's not focused enough. Like, why we're casting too wide a net? Why would people come to us unless we were one specific thing? So I do have reservations as well, and in some ways I'm completely understanding Andy's point. I'm flip-flopping, is what we said. I don't know if you have that term in Spain, but yes. I have the same concerns that Andy does.
I've been that
it's too broad.
I've been effectively flip-flopping since we started discussing it, between trying to find something that is locally focused enough, either by culture, purpose, or geography, and something that's going to be relevant or interesting or important to all of us. And I think we've gone back and forth on that so many times now that we're sort of at the point where we've sort of reached loggerheads, not in a nasty way towards each other. It's just like we can't and haven't come to a unified point on it, and effectively time's run out because we need to make the presentation tomorrow morning, and we still haven't got that unified purpose or that unified vision or that unified target of what to cover. So, I mean, out of all of us, Hedy and Sam have got the two most defined ideas of either doing retail or public sector cuts.
Well, there's only one way to go with this if we go this way, and it leaves Andy with no choice. We can't do a website about spending cuts and have one about public servants, one about business, and one about arts and the media without having the key component be the taxpayer. Right? Because those are the people, like, that's the biggest story here, really, is the spending cuts themselves. For example, they're going to cut universality of the child benefit, right? That means that millions and millions of middle-class people are going to lose their child benefit. I mean, I don't, all the, welfare changes, everything, that leaves only, that's our only choice, because if we're going to go diverse and broad, we have to include that, and it's four people doing completely different things. My concern, and so A, Andy has to accept that he is going to be the voice of the people and do the cuts, and that's a huge beat, as we say in radio or television or or in newspapers, mm-hmm. right? I wouldn't want it. It's very, very difficult to present, you know, the impact of the cuts on the average Birmingham people.
Mm.
But so if we go broad like this, that must be what Andy does. Mm-hmm. And if Andy doesn't want to do that, which I completely respect and understand, then maybe we need to come up with a different vision.
Well, I'm just wondering, if you three are happy doing what you've come to some sort of decision about, you know, with each different thing, I can do my own thing. I'll have a think about something else. And
Or the other alternative is for you and I to work together.
Well, I'm easy. I'll
do, you know, you and I could do the website just on the public servants if we don't want to spread.
It's just my concern is that the whole like focus has been hyper local, you know, mm-hmm. a very, very small group. And when we spoke to Nick Book, he said public servants, didn't he? Civil servants are public employees, public sector employees, because they haven't a voice. And I know from working in the public sector, if you speak out, you're shunted out, you know, they get rid of you. People who spoke out were just put under immense pressure until they either quit or had nervous breakdowns. And it's very much a closed shop, and people haven't got a voice in it. But I don't know whether it's just me, because I was saying to Harry before, I am very black and white in the way I see mm-hmm. things. I don't see many grey areas. And it just seems to me too divert. You know, there's nothing kind of gelling it together. It's like coming up with an idea for a website and then just. Well, it's like your gaming websites and just having the Xbox and PlayStation and ignoring the Wii.
Mm.
You know, which is a huge area.
And PC, which you've
just... Yeah. No, but you know, I was just using a quick example. You know, missing... Or then using, on the other flip side, having a magazine or website that covers every gaming platform ever created. And by doing that, just through like time restraints and hours in the day, you're going to neglect certain areas, which is why I thought that Paul was saying concentrate on one specific narrow area, just that one narrow thing. Whereas this, it just seems like it's people wanting to do their own thing. Well, people wanting to do their own thing, but out of politeness, wanting to try and keep a group project going, where in fact, you know, it seems that people would rather do their own thing in some respects. I don't know whether I'm reading that wrong or...
Yeah, no, that's completely that way, because I think that it is, to do a very integrated group project, we have to actually do the work of the work of one, but multiply by four, no? And my suggestion actually was to do something which would enable us to work together. This also two things that we raised on Monday that I would like to raise now. One would be the organizational side of things, because if we are covering exactly the same topic, for example, if the four of us were covering the public spending cuts, there will be much coordination work thrown in. And the other thing is that we would, before anything, we would also have to think any topic we cover, how we would like to do it. For example, I think that a good idea would be, for example, to have a morning roundup of all the news that affect these people, linking outside and everything, and then working every week, each of us, on a bigger story, which involves an investigation or some mapping, data, multimedia, anything, no? So, keeping a good pace of publishing, linking to other sources, etc., and at the same time, being able to develop each one's own projects, and in the case, for example, of the 20th of October and the protest of the day before, being able to work the four of us together to build something bigger, because if we're doing something on our own, we can be there and be publishing something big at the same time. So I would, and for this case, for example, I was talking, if we do a daily or weekly roundup of news, is each person going to, would each person be contributing to that every morning, and it would be published when the last one can contribute, or each one would be publishing separately. And so I think we have to look into the way we're going to work, because if we're doing a project in which we have to ask ourselves, ask one another, in what we are working in, coordinate ourselves, it takes a lot of time off the 18 hours a week we actually have for doing the project. I talked to you also about this, that we have to be very effective in order to, and about not covering everything, I think that is exactly the point. All the blog platforms they launch, for example, in the United States, they have this Project Argo things, which is basically that each NPR station chooses one single topic to cover in their community, and that's it. Mm. And from that single topics they are covering in each community, there are only a dozen sites for all the US, for 12 cities. And with that, they have built a national platform. Or, for example, many news media that you get around there. For example, in Spain, we had this very innovative Soy2.es that won the Online Journalism Award lots of times. And their basis was having like a bunch of blogs. They had their political section, but after that they launched a music section, but then they didn't have, for example, a sports section, and people don't have to go to the website for anything. So that's why I think of this as a platform, which yes, there is an individuality, because I think a group project is very challenging, and as we are, and as there is no, it is not supposed to for us to divide functions or put a leader. In fact, for our evaluation, then all of us have to do everything. So that would be a bit trickier. It's not as in, for example, in my undergrad course, we had to do a group project, and there was 10 of us, and we were supposed to have the PR person, the one that looks for advertising. Actually, we have to work on all of us. Mm. So, and I think if we are covering this big issue of the cats, or even the public cats in general, I think we're going to get stuck with this. That it will be natural that when there is a big story, we would all want to go for it. Mm. Or I find that, and also for the quicker blogging, for the aggregation, for the roundups of links and everything, I find it easier if I focus on, for example, if someone focuses on the benefit cards, if someone focuses on what it means for business, if someone focuses on what it means for someone.
Mm. See, I mean, of the ones that we've discussed so far, the more I think about it, the more I do think your idea of the focusing on the retail areas possibly the best for both our potential scope and for the hyperlocal thing, because we can focus it geographically hyperlocal on Birmingham city centre.
That's what my obsession was.
Yeah, and it's a real it's a targeted.
But there are 20
course.
Websites focusing on retail in Birmingham city centre already.
Yes, but they are all well. I haven't found so many, but they are focused by. From the upside down, and I think they're going to cover the cats in fact, because they are marketing tools. They are not information news websites. And we're trying to get news and information.
Do you remember I was saying when we first met about how the Birmingham City Council sort of quietly shuffled any kind of independent retailers further and further out of the city centre. I think that's something you can pick up on.
The issues I would like to, because also when you're thinking of a community, you have to think of the stories too. I was thinking of, on the first place, security, on the second place, transport and street cleaning, the usual topics you would cover when you're covering a local community for a local newspaper. Also, I think there are good opportunities for data journalism and all this for the vacant store spaces. I have looked into freedom of information requests, and there is also a lot of information about there, but it needs to be updated. I think there are also very good storytelling opportunities. In one thing, they have a project of having a 24-hour city center. So I have already ideas for showing how it is now. So what I find is a community, a very tight community, geographically and with interests, of which has problems, which can be showcased, because the you only have for that the traditional media, the independent bloggers, but the websites that unite the community I am trying to cater as a whole are only marketing tools. So, and I think we need that sense of tight communities, because if they are too big,
Which is why, I mean, how are you going to drive traffic to your website? I'm playing devil's advocate for a minute. How are you going to get people to go there? If we just do public servants, we can send an email to every union that represents these public servants and put them on their various websites and whatnot. But how are you going to get general downtown people to go to your website as opposed to some of the other ones that are out there? And I'm sorry I said 10, but I was looking at your thing on Google Docs.
Yes.
And it looked like you had about 10. I didn't mean to.
Yeah, no, there are a lot, but the problem with them is many of them, for example, have blogs and haven't been updated for a year.
I see that. But how are you going to drive traffic to your website?
Well, of course, linking, developing a person on social media, through search, of course, once I have content, and pushing the website to people actually can make sense, and the basic thing is, which is very, as Bodnar said, as Inkubus said, if for the public servants it is very easy, because you can, not easy, but it has great opportunities, because they can go in and create the community and tell each one another. Mm-hmm. So in this case, I acknowledge it's a bit different.
Yeah. When Andy, when Sam and I were talking about this earlier this week, when he was talking about his, you know, using it as a platform for, as a blogging platform, I talked about whether or not the website would have a unified look to it. What I'm doing is searching for compromises on this, or us deciding right now whether we're going to go our own way, and Andy and I are going to make our own website. But searching for compromises, so that, I mean, is there a way, and what I said to Samuel earlier this week is that, so that when people log on or go to our website, they don't just see three sort of different places to drill down. You know, if you're interested in this, go here. If you're interested in that, go there. If you're interested in this, go here. To me, it's important that that the website have a unified look, and that these bits of content be all accessible from the main page. Are you still envisioning that we have sort of the key article, no matter who it came from? But you know what? This doesn't. For me, this is an important compromise. But it doesn't then get us away from the fact that Andy has to cover the impact of all spending cuts on average people. We simply cannot have the impact on civil servants, business, and the arts, and then leave out Joe Q taxpayer. Mm-hmm. We either have to, which makes it very difficult, and a whole different website.
But it can be, for example, how the benefit the spending cuts affect the people of a local community.
Yes, yeah. I realize that, but his area is too broad compared to what Matt has to do. Right? This is every taxpayer in Britain affecting the way they're going to live their lives for the next 20 years. That's a hell of a, you know, there are potentially, right off the top of my head, 20 stories Andy can do right now before we even launch. Mm-hmm. Right? And that doesn't seem like the correct sort of balance.
No.
We either do jobs and service cuts, or we have to do the four-headed monster.
Just as a slight digression, I'll loop it back in a second. Did anybody watch the live stream of Cameron's speech, or read upon the live blog of it after?
I got to two up, but I basically look up for the summary of that.
Okay. Well, I was basically going to say, if you were aware enough of it, if there was anything in that that we could sort of take and relate to it and focus on, because Cameron was speaking a lot about his big society idea,
yeah,
of everybody having to play and do their part. And like so you mentioned child benefit cuts.
Yeah.
His justification for it, and
no, I know that I've been researching that for like 3 weeks, so I'm familiar with the content of what he's doing.
So like the whole thing about how he thinks it's only fair that people who earn the most pay the most. But obviously there's the other side to that. But so I'm just thinking like maybe there's a particularly relevant element in like the zeitgeist that we can sort of pick up on, relate back to a local Birmingham focus that ties into the cuts, and sort of maybe go from there.
Well, maybe if the cuts for the taxpayer, if we can center that in a community which is small and has a strong identity. I'm thinking of a street. I don't know if hard one mostly or even smaller. Just three or four streets. Because with the retail thing, what they try to do is that reduce it to three or four streets and there are alternating streets. And look at that. I think it must be an area that you can cover on foot and be there almost every day.
Yeah.
So then our focus would be public service in general. And then would all the stories be about this one block of Birmingham of the retail center and the taxpayer angle be one? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, who are we trying to reach is what I come back to.
See, to also be devil advocate on the retail idea, I think given that the city council's pushed so many independent retailers out of the city centre, you're just left with the big chain retailers whose staff may not want to discuss anything or may not have authorization from higher up to speak about anything.
No, but
so then I'm led to think maybe like, say, the jewellery quarter, because it's an area that's entire economy is based around the purchase of luxury goods. If people don't have the disposable income to buy luxury goods, what happens?
No, but I am quite assured of the because in the center there are 100 independent retailers, so they were just covered in the Birmingham Post the other day. But they covered it how interviewing three of them and throwing a conclusion out of that. So. I'm just using it as a... But yes, going back to what we were saying, yes, I think that if we restrict it also locally, it makes it much easier for us. And I insist on the idea of having it as an incomplete website, which would have lots of room for growing bigger, for letting more people in. Not actually doing, but of the concept, no, of being a platform in which each of us, because I think that most of all we have to think about the project, but we also have to think of making things profitable and not only easy but feasible and for us, because in the end what we're going to come up with is a website with maybe 10 big stories or 8 around this semester. So I think of it just as an opportunity for us to do the assignments that we have to do the best journalism that we can, and to try new things and everything. But I don't think we have to build this mega website, because that may lead to frustration then afterwards.
Because so you just contradicted yourself though, right? Did you just...
No.
I didn't understand the point you were making at the end.
I tend to be circular.
You said that, but you don't want to make it too big a...
Yes, that I think that we just have to think of it as a platform, as the support, the place where we are going to do the things, the experiments we want to do. But if we think of it that we in January we have to end up with a full website that has covered everything, we will be disappointed and frustrated.
Yes, but what you are advocating is a full website that's covering everything.
No, I'm thinking of a platform which would be could.
So a shifting platform, one that can change its focus as needed. So
no, the problem, not the problem, but the concept of this is, which is something that will die in January, no? and would be difficult to pass on because once the cards are off, we're off these two. But no, the idea is to have something which can be very small, but imagine if we split it up and each of us did our own thing, which would be similar because we would cover in the cuts and the downturn and the economy situation, but it was split up. We had the problem that each of us would have to develop the platform. We would have less contact for working together on our stories and everything. It would be more difficult to do that. And also, in the end, we would have to work on our own, replicate things that others are
yes, already doing. And this is the big downside to it all. But maybe I also only see things in black and white. And every time I listen to you, you make so much sense and you're so persuasive. I think, yeah, okay, Sam's right.
But no,
it will work. But in my heart of hearts, I'm with Andy. That it's too broad. That it's trying to be too many things to too many people. That its focus is too broad. And that that we are trying to put... Anyways, Andy, you go. I'm sorry. What's that?
Sorry, I interrupted. No,
I'm my words are tumbling around. You go, and then I'll refocus.
Well, what I thought the whole idea behind this was to report the facts of the cuts, because there's so many. The unions will tell you one thing. The Labour Party will tell you another.